There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Lots to do on today's show. You want to chime in? That's pretty easy. Phone line and the text line both for you at 343-0106. 343-0106. In addition, you can use the FM Talk 106.5 app. You'll see a microphone icon there. That is the talkback feature. If you press the microphone icon, it lets you record a message. And it emails it right here to the show. You can play it back on the show as well. All right, so a lot to do today in our leadoff batter. We hear from him every Monday around this time. He's one of the busiest men in Alabama media. You see him, you love him on Capital Journal, and you read his emails if you're cool, 6 days a week from Alabama Daily News. Todd Stacey joins us, and the crowd goes wild for Todd.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
It's good, man. I guess it's good. I want to start off with this. I know it's one of the stories y'all reported on as well, but this is where you live in Montgomery. 12, I mean, we've had our issues here. I'm not pointing fingers, you know, just, but this is 12 people shot in this shootout. And this is downtown Montgomery, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just
like, help
really...
me picture where it is. Like, okay, from Goat Hill, where do I go? Or am I going back towards the river? Where am I going?
Yeah, the river, the riverfront. It's really the heart of downtown where,
okay. Been there.
Yeah, you know, where the big Renaissance Hotel is, mm-hmm. and all that. And so this Saturday was a relatively big one in Montgomery with football because you had the Alabama State homecoming on their campus and in their stadium. But just a little less than a mile away was Morehouse versus Tuskegee renewing their rivalry in Crampton Bowl. Both of those stadiums are about a mile away from downtown where this happened. And so the real... I mean, look, besides just the awful violence and, you know, the people themselves that did the shooting, they're the ones responsible. But you've got to also look at planning. And because these two big games were in town, you also had Huntington's homecoming. The city took part in planning this kind of downtown block party where, I mean, probably had a couple of thousand people at least descending on downtown. And that's when shots rang out. So, I mean, I'm sure that we'll know more later. Two people died, more could die, but 12 were hurt. And it's senseless. But one thing that, you know, that we keep bringing up, the eyewitnesses that have spoken out since then, so they there was not a you know, even close to appropriate police presence. And that would not surprise me, honestly. And so if you're going to...
Why is that?
I don't know. Why wouldn't it surprise me?
Yeah. I mean, is it not...
Well, because there is a
I know
police
Montgomery
shortage.
Has the problems. Yeah. Is it common not to have people at, like, a big event, you know, not to have enough resources to staff?
It's unthinkable. It's unthinkable to have an event like that, especially considering, Sean, that last year, about this same time, when ASU had their homecoming, there was a shooting on their campus. Nobody died, but one of these... Glock switches was used. Tuskegee had a shooting around the same time, so for their homecoming. So, like, we understand that it's not like I'd be very surprised if we're talking about students, right? These aren't college students. These aren't college alumni. But big homecoming events like this, big rivalry games, just like in every college, they invite not just students and alumni, but other people, right? Mm-hmm. Other outside folks. And I think that, you know, in this case, attracted some bad elements. So I guess what I'm saying is you've already had a shooting at homecoming for Alabama State last year. You know that that's a thing. You've had it in Tuskegee as well. Man, you ought to have an overwhelming police presence downtown Montgomery. If you're going to go and take part in planning an event like this, you better have an overwhelming amount of force. And if you can't muster that because of the shortage, then you got to cancel the event. And that's the questions that are being asked right now.
Yeah, you know, and it's, I mean, think about that. Your homecoming, right? Homecoming. That, I mean, the fact that you would have to be, if I had a kid at that school, I'd have to say, you know what? You probably don't need to do the homecoming celebration. What? That's where we are now? You know, that, and like you said, it's usually not alum or students, but it's people associated. It's down here. If we have a big New Year celebration, or Lord knows, we have big Mardi Gras, which was a lot tamer this year, was good this last year. But it's like if you have any big event, the dirtbags show up and decide they're going to, you know, shoot it out. Like OK Corral, right. Which, by the way, OK Corral, I point out all the time, only there were three people killed in the shootout at the OK Corral. Okay, and a couple more wounded. I mean, we do that in a weekly basis in Alabama. And it's, and think about it. We have this historical shootout at the OK Corral, and we do this stuff, you know, it's just a random Saturday night.
Right. So it's just terrible, the fact that people lost their lives. I think you get some people that are pretty seriously injured. But you're right about the chilling effect. I mean, look, it's homecoming. It's a big rivalry game. Two different events. The confluence of that, I'm sure, prior to the shooting, everybody's having a good time. Like, that's really cool football in the South. But you've got to understand the other element that gets attracted to events like this, because it's already happened. It's already happened. And I think we're going to be looking for answers from the mayor and everybody else. But we know that some bad people got some guns and shot people up. We know that. I want to have that. I want to have some suspects. I want to have some arrests. Mm-hmm. I want to put them in jail. But there's another element to this. Is that why did it get planned like this? What was behind it? Did we have enough officers? If not, why did it go forward? Because that's just a public safety thing.
And what's the situation? I know the mayor's pushing back on that, but I mean, what's the situation right now? With are there aspects of Aaliyah helping still in Montgomery, or what constitutes, you know, public safety in Montgomery?
Right. So this Metropolitan Area Crime Suppression Unit set up a couple of years ago. Really, I guess it's just turned a little over a year. And that really deals with specific types of crimes. These, you've got state troopers, sheriffs, in some cases federal agents, going around making traffic stops, getting the guns, really focusing on the individual violent crimes that happen across Montgomery. So, and that is work. We've talked about how that has been a real success that really ought to be duplicated in other cities. To my knowledge, it does not include, you know, a big event like this, a big downtown event. But maybe it should, right? If you're having this huge event where you expect essentially a block party, we expect thousands mm-hmm. to show up, why shouldn't troopers be involved in that? And that's the thing, is I know Aaliyah well enough, I know Hal Taylor well enough to know if the troopers are going to be involved in something like that, if the state is going to be involved in something like that, then just to protect their officers, they're going to have an overwhelming force. So we don't know the answer to these questions right now, but we have questions, because, like I said, eyewitnesses on the ground there were questioning, where were the police? And so that's for the rest of us to ask the authorities now.
Yeah, I'll be watching your reporting on that. Also, before we wrap up, two more. I do want to quickly ask you about this, because every time these stories come up, when y'all report on them, you and I talk about them. We audit these things in Alabama that, you know, you think, well, that's a music hall of fame, or that's just a thing. Everything's going to be fine. You have two things here. The audits find nearly $4.9 million in misspent bingo funds in Greene County. That's one thing. But you got 35 issues at the Motorsports Museum. Who does these audits?
Well, the examiners of public accounts. You would think that the state auditor would do them, but that's a conversation for a different day. But the examiners of public accounts, they are the state's auditors. They go and look at the books of every state agency to make sure they're on the up and up. And I have to say, decades ago, it was kind of a joke organization. A lot of political favors changing hands. But ever since Rachel Riddle came in and has taken over Examiner's of Public Accounts, she means business. And this is, I mean, I don't think anybody's surprised to see in the headline that some bingo funds were maybe misspent. But $5 million is a pretty big deal, especially considering that money is supposed to go to charity, right? There's supposed to be these charity bingo things. And the Motorsports Museum, we got this tip a while back, but this is another example of somebody, you know, trying to use it essentially as a credit card. And these are public funds. These are taxpayer dollars.
Wasn't it Music Hall of Fame last time? What was it?
It was Music Hall of Fame last time.
Same kind of stuff.
Right, exactly. And so these, both of these kind of came from tips, but we, you know, got some comment from the Examiner's office. And look, it's our job to shine a light on shady behavior. Mm-hmm. It may not seem like much in the long run, but it's important to make sure that these agencies, these quasi-agencies, and anybody using public money knows they can't get away with it, knows they can't misspend it. And so it's a good story. I encourage folks to go read it.
Okay. Those are all up at alabamadailynews.com. And I'm going to get to one of your stories. We don't have time, but I'm going to get to y'all later on, a dog deer hunting story that something we've talked about before on the show that y'all reported on, Barry did. But before we wrap up, the Feinbaum stuff, it picked up last week. It got speed. Now reported that he's going to go speak with Republicans in Washington. Now the word out, ESPN is curtailing his appearances out there. You worked in Montgomery and in Washington. Your sense of this on the barometer, is this a real thing?
I mean, I told you last week, I just couldn't see, I couldn't really conceive of him running a successful Senate campaign.
Right.
If he really, really wants to do it, I mean, I know he's talked about like Charlie Kirk and just being really inspired. If he's really serious about that, then that's fine. And we'll, you know, welcome him to the race, treat him like a candidate. But I don't think it's the same thing as a Tuberville situation. I know that when Tuberville ran and was successful, everybody just kind of thought that would be easy if it was them, you know, them. So that some kind of famous celebrity or athlete. I mean, look at what Herschel Walker, you know, he ran, what, twice and lost? It's not that easy to pull off. I don't think Bruce Pearl would have been as successful as Tuberville either. Tuberville, before he ran, spent about 4 years, 3 or 4 years, making the rounds in Montgomery because he was thinking about running for governor.
Yeah, we all had talked about, if y'all remember back then, like folks like Todd and Jeff and I, like, being like, why is he at this? Why? Oh, maybe there's some reason he's at some, you know. Yeah, he was kind of showing his hand a little bit early.
Absolutely. And making those rounds to alpha meetings and everything like that. It's not the same thing as Paul Feinbaum parachuting in from Charlotte and saying, I'm really from Alabama and I'd like to do this. I just, to me, yes, he has high name ID, but to me, it's just not the same thing. And take that plus there, you know that he's got some comments critical of Trump somewhere out there. It's not going to be hard to dig up. You put that on TV, that on the radio. This campaign is too far along. We are past Labor Day. We are past Alpha's endorsements. Steve Marshall got Alpha's endorsements. If he wants to do it, great. It would be fun to cover.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't think he has that many advantages, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I would not advise him to do it.
Where would the money come, do you think? I mean, because it's, you know, you look at it, you know, Boren Marshall right now have been there. Well, it took more a while, but, you know, he's in and he's announced that they're getting endorsements and getting money. I wonder what sub lane, for lack of a better term, that Paul would run in. You know, between the two, I mean, they're both very right. Is he going to be moderate compared? And then where does that money come from?
Yeah, the money is interesting because, you know, on the federal level, it's not like you can go out and raise $50,000 a time from people like they can on the state level. You've got to do it essentially, you know, $6,000 at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's for a couple. So, you know, I don't know how personally wealthy Feinbaum is. If he is, if he has just millions of dollars and he's willing to part with, then that could be an advantage because you don't have any self-funders in the race right now. If he could drop in $2 million and immediately catch up, then that's a big deal. But I'm not sure about that. I'm not, In my experience in politics, the only the candidates that are super, super wealthy are willing to part with their own money. Most of them, even in the couple of millions, want it back.
For sure. All right. People want to check out, watch. They could actually go catch up and watch Capital Journal from Friday. I do that like I do on YouTube, right? That's probably the fastest way.
Yeah, we talked about some of that dog.
Yep. I know it's got me started gear. On this. Yes. We're going to talk about this later because this is a subject.
We've got video of it. But yep. Yeah, Capital Journal. Good episode from last week. We're on the air Fridays and Sundays. And yes, you want to get the email for free in your inbox. It's just aldailynews.com. Enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list.
And as always, a pleasure, Todd.
All right, Sean. Be good.
All right. There he goes, Todd Stacy. And we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile, 343-0106. We'll talk.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I see on a monitor in here. White House briefing on their efforts to reopen the federal government. Levitt's on there talking. All right, we'll see. With day six, I think we had talked about last week. I just threw my bet in. It would be overnight tonight into tomorrow. Looks like that's not going to happen. Worked about as well. I had to actually get good picks in the college pick 'em this weekend, but I'm still like at 173 or something like that. But we'll see. I mean, does this go 37 days like the last was that the record when Trump first term? I think 37, something like that. All right, let's get a couple stories here. I want to do the Feinbaum thing. We will get into a couple of the other stories we've mentioned with Todd Stacy. But the Feinbaum thing, I know Jeff talked about it a good bit. I don't know. Paul, I think, is a little more serious maybe than people are giving him credit for here. And this story from over at 1819 News, Jeff wrote this story. A headline here, Feinbaum to visit Washington for meeting with Republicans. Said, according to the latest from Politico, senior columnist Jonathan Martin, the Paul Feinbaum for U.S. Senate movement appears to be a real thing. Last week, in a head-scratcher, Feinbaum, a regular ESPN personality, appeared on ESPN critic Clay Travis's podcast. I did think that was interesting. And Jeff mentioned that as well. Like, the Coke to the Pepsi, just different, right? That's the break there. I mean, Clay, even though he came up with just being like anti-ESPN. And so Paul goes on there. I thought that did stand out to me. Said he revealed his interest in seeking the seat that will be vacated by U.S. Senator Tommy Tuberville, who's running for governor in 2026. And I got the quotes from Paul. We've heard played that last week. Martin from Politico reports Feinbaum is, quote, set to visit Washington for meetings with Republicans later this month, end quote. But expressed his skepticism that Feinbaum would give up his lucrative ESPN deal for $174,000 freshman U.S. senator salary. Martin suggested there was concern among U.S. senators who would serve in that seat, noting Katie Britt's trying relationship with Tuberville. Goes on, says whoever wins the nomination in Alabama will almost certainly become the next senator, but more than a few GOP senators care about who they will be serving with in such red states where the primary is tantamount to victory. We talked about that forever here. In so many cases, the primary is the general. Among those is Alabama's other senator, Katie Britt, who had a trying relationship at times with departing Senator Tommy Tuberville and would surely get along better with Feinbaum. They said she would. So there you go. There's got to be some money here. He's going to go to Washington. The fact that they came to him with polling and showed that he'd be popular, which it's not just on the popularity of Paul. Does that say something about Marshall and Moore? That people that were polled about this would say, yeah, you know what? I'd probably give Feinbaum a shot. So it may not be you, but enough people did. And now you go to Washington. Is there money there outside of Paul slapping leather to do this? He just bought that house in Birmingham. I've given him grief about it. He probably doesn't, probably used up a good bit of that. Other people are going to have to finance this. And is the money there? If the vote was today, Republican primary, you have Marshall, Moore, and Feinbaum on the ticket. Which bubble do you pencil in there? Pen in there? Let me know on the text line, 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. And let's get the week started with a little virtual tour of what's new on the lot.
Oh, you know, there's always something new out here. There's always something missing a sticker or missing a tag or something. It's like we can't catch up because something else is coming in different. We have a good rotation. I can't complain. And that is a problem. I mean, having a sticker on the back that says LCM, which you always say you see at the red lights and whatnot, you have no idea how tough it is to keep up with all that. And every time Jennifer comes out here, she sees one and complains, but it is what it is. I mean, we just have a lot of inventory coming and going, but we've got a great selection, and stuff is moving. So, you know, anything you're wanting, cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, we got a lot of small SUVs right now, great selection of those. We've got two full-size SUVs. I got a Yukon XL and a Suburban Premier. So if anybody's looking for something like that, now's a good time to come see us because we got two of them.
Okay, well, tell them how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call, 251-375-0068, or just go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. Let us know what we can do for you.
Thanks, David.
Have a good day,
buddy. Hey, you too. There goes David over at LCM. And let's see. Oh, speaking of, like, just being at the traffic lights, I do see a lot of LCM tags. I mean, I've got that and stickers and, you know, just pull up a light and say, look at all those. I don't know if it's something about Monday or whatever it is. Did y'all know, like, did the new shipment of weed just show up or something? Like, it was more than normal today. It was just, like, smoky trails going down. I was on airport, smelled it on, you know, airport and university. I guess those were two majors, airport and university. Today, I was just like, but it was like every dang traffic light. Maybe it's just the same person was following me around, blowing the smoke out. I don't know. Or it just seemed like, it's always present, but something, I don't know. Today, it just stood out more. Maybe it's the humidity. Maybe that's what it carried it more. All right, to the text line here at 343-0106. King of all unnamed texters said, would have to vote for Paul to get him off the air from 2 to 6. Let's see. Fire Dog said, I'd vote for Barry Moore. He did a good job as a congressman. He would be great as a senator. Feinbaum, I just worry about his age at 70. Oh, what's Trump's age? It's not. This is the thing back with the Biden thing. And people on the left would say, well, look at Trump's age. And if he goes again, it's not. I know I sound like an old guy talking because I am. But it's not the age. It's how it's manifesting itself, right? There's people that are. I mean, we know this. I would just go through this. Somebody at 80 that's sharper than somebody at 60. I mean, it just depends on the person. And Paul's real sharp. I mean, he's, give you that. He's not missing many steps there. Gulf Coast Girl said, agreed, Sean. Many news types dismiss Feinbaum, not understanding the complexity of who he is, his understanding of issues, or his wide reach with the movers and shakers, and the average Joe and Jane. Jason says, A.G. Marshall will get my vote for Senate. He's the only serious choice, in my opinion. Texture said, I love Paul's show, but not his politics. He seems to be a bit moderate, but his somewhat cavalier attitude could split the party at a moment when some votes are extremely close. Yeah, I don't think he'd be. I don't think he'd go up there and vote very different than the current contrary. He might not say the things you want in the meantime, but he's not going to vote very different, I don't think, than that Senator Britt would or currently Tuberville. But yeah, okay, that's just a little sampling there. And to follow up on that, too, the two-parter, like, okay, so, you know, I wrote in my notes, Feinbaum goes to Washington, so that's interesting. And then the curtailing of Paul's ESPN appearances. Now, this from AL.com says, Paul Feinbaum removed from ESPN shows by Disney after the Clay Travis interview. It's from Mark Heim. Said Paul Feinbaum's been removed from all ESPN appearances by parent company Disney. The first the news was first reported by OutKick's Clay Travis and confirmed by AL.com. Yeah, this is the tweet or the post, whatever you do on X now. We'll just forever call it tweets. Said, per sources, Disney ESPN has removed Feinbaum from appearing on ESPN since his OutKick interview, expressing interest in running as a Republican for the Senate in Alabama. ESPN has canceled all network appearances on all shows, including some that have occurred for a decade plus. Now, and I'll say this in the mix. There's a, I mean, something I would have to think about here. You know, if he launched a campaign that he stayed on, you know, it would be, I mean, I got to think about it a couple different ways, right? Just the politics of the state of Alabama, the business of this radio station. But over the air, you can call for equal time, right? On terrestrial signals. But ESPN, I mean, maybe because ESPN then goes to radio and it's but cable doesn't have to do that same thing. Because you could say, oh, well, they're going to limit his appearances on ESPN so they don't get, you know, calls for equal time, but they don't have to face that on ESPN. So it must be, it's got to be something else. So I guess he'll be on here today, but they're not going to have, you know, because, I mean, the guy is tireless. He's on every show. You know, ESPN has, you have their, if it's adjacent to college football, they get Paul Feinbaum to come on there, which is good. Which is a good move. So there you go. There's the latest on Feinbaum, and we'll hear more, I guess, coming up today at 2. He probably actually will not mention it unless callers bring it up. Let's see. Oh, and I wanted to get to the story here that it's over at Alabama Daily News. Okay, so Todd Stacey's site, Alabama Daily News. Story written by Mary Sell. And I didn't see it over the weekend. I heard Dana Dalton talking about it this morning, so I went and found it. Said, property owners ask for help with dog deer hunters. New rule pending. And y'all that don't hunt, don't let your eyes glaze over. Follow me through this. Because I think this is, for me, this is pretty interesting. This has been a debate. This is nothing new. Debate over dog deer hunting. Been a long time, but I've been on dog deer hunts growing up. Thought they were great. Cool thing. I've also been on the other side. I've caught dogs and returned dogs and had reactions, everything from, man, thank you so much. You know, call them, say, I got your dog. You wouldn't believe how far away from y'all I caught them. You know, meet me up at the gas station. I got your dogs here in the back of my truck. I've had people just say, man, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then I'll say, man, you got to keep them from, you know, getting on this property, you know, running loose like this. Okay. To the other end, and it had everything in between, to the other end of people that I'm returning their dogs and they would have bow up and fight me alongside a dirt road in Washington County. I mean, I've had personal experiences on through the whole thing. And I'm the guy that, like, wants people to get their dogs back. I just, like, here's your dogs, but y'all can't keep doing this. This is the problem. There are people that do this correctly. It's like anything. There are people that do this correctly, that run dogs for deer and keep them on their own properties or lease properties or wherever they're allowed to be. And then there's other people who don't give a dang. And that's where you get these problems. And this is not new, but here's Mary's story. It said, a state house meeting Thursday on a proposed rule for deer hunting with dogs led to a lawmaker's disclosure of wild threats against him years ago. Now, she teases that, and it comes up, we'll get to that at the end, what the threats were. And this I've never talked to him personally about this, but it makes sense to me. This kind of stuff happens. This one said six landowners and lessees around Talladega National Forest asked Alabama lawmakers for assistance in keeping hunting dogs off their property during deer season. Talladega County residents said the dogs were a consistent issue and ruined their ability to hunt and enjoy their own property. One man spoke about an encounter he had with a group of hunters that ended with him and his 10-year-old daughter being threatened and chased by men when we called 911. I almost want to cue drive-by truckers ain't never going to change in the background of this conversation. Because like I said, I've seen the good side of it. You've gone on dog deer drives and enjoyed those over the years. Returned dogs to people that were very happy to get their dogs back and were like, man, you will not have my dogs on your property again. I am sorry. And then I've had people that I'm returning their dogs and they want to, how'd you like me to kick your, you know, and I'm like, this is where we're going to go right now? Sport. Said before the vote on this, one legislative leader said he didn't want to get sideways with the hunters who were advocating for more days in deer season to hunt with dogs in exchange for the new private property rule. Now, we'll say this. If the limitations, and they are limited in the amount of time they can run dogs. If the dogs didn't get off their property, I think they should be able to hunt every day of the season. They do their own thing. That's how they choose to hunt deer. Cool. But it's been reduced because of these interactions. So who is the person here that kind of burying the lead way down there? He's been a guest on this show many, many times. House President Pro Tem Chris Pringle said during this on Thursday, he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to warn you that you do not want to deal with dog hunting days. The last time we did this, the dog hunters pulled me aside and told me in no uncertain terms that if I were to vote, if I did not vote with them, they would burn down my house and burn my timber down," end quote. The house fire, these stories, I didn't ever hear Chris's story about this, but I've heard so many of these other stories. All right, you just leave and see what happens. You burn your camp down, your house down. Because those are the problems with this. They're like people who do this the right way. And then there's a bunch of damn rednecks, okay? That because they can't run the dogs across somebody's property, they're going to go destroy the person's property. But this is that quote comes from back, I think it was, I think this came out 20 something years ago when that happened. I think they talk about it in the story. It says Pringle is a co-chair of the Legislative Council. He voted against the proposed hunting rule. His comments drew outcry from property owners at the meeting. Later, Pringle, whose legislative career started in 1994, told Alabama Daily News that threat happened about 25 years ago. Is that the way to run policy in the state? Is like gangster stuff? Hey, if you don't pay your insurance to the Gotties here, I'd hate for your building to burn down, right? Alabama Department of Conservation and Natural Resources Commissioner Chris Blankenship has told the council, a body of lawmakers with members from the Senate and the House, that dog deer hunting has been a divisive issue in the state for decades. You got that right. Chris will be on with us next week. Blankenship will. So the problem is dogs being allowed to run off one piece of property where their owner is hunting onto another and disrupting hunters there. That's perfect sentence. That's exactly what happens. Back in May, the CAB, the Conservation Advisory Board, that does the rules and for the department, it's like the overseeing board for DCNR, voted to make it illegal to have a deer hunting dog on somebody else's property without permission. So, I mean, that seems to make sense, right? Said the first offense would be a warning, then a citation. Blankenship said it was the least intrusive way to deal with a, quote, few bad apples in dog hunting groups, end quote, of which there are three in the state. Yeah, there's groups, but there's also a lot more people that aren't members of these groups out there. But it's an interesting read if you go into Alabama Daily News and check it out. And yeah, but to hear House Pro Tem Chris Pringle say 25 years ago he got that threat out there. And like, I'd like to see people be able to do hunt like they want, just keep off other people's property. Well,
this is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. All right, grab some text here. Where am I? In line here. I think Fire Dog is up next. Said Feinbaum's age isn't a comment on his mental ability. Simply, he would be 76 since senators served for six. You don't say. And he would run again, would wind up at 82. Barry Moore is 59, could serve three terms for seniority, while Feinbaum may be willing to run again at 82. Let's face it, that's a long time for a man at his age. Okay. Yeah, and seniority thing, too. And I'll say this, Fire Dog, you're onto something. Remember I talked about when we had, before Jeff Sessions went to work in the first Trump administration, and Richard Shelby decided he wasn't going to run again and hand it over. We had at one time the most senior senatorial delegation in Washington. You say, "Well, Sean, I want new blood in there." I said, "Okay, fine." But the Senate is the place where less populous states get to play ball at the same level of the populous states, right? Have the same amount of representation. Because we get creamed in the House. You know, you look at the number of House members and California or Florida, Texas, New York, pick a state. They got us outmatched there. But in the Senate, we fight at the same class. When you have senior senatorial delegation, like Fire Dog was talking about. You have pretty good assignments. You have a lot of political capital up there, and you can make things happen. And yes, do I want to see the whole thing reformed? Yes, but I am cynical after all these years, and I do realize the way it works. And so for a less populous state like Alabama to have a senior senatorial delegation in the one place where we have even footing versus in the House is an important thing. So if our dog, you're onto something. Bruce says, hey, Sean, about the new weed. Don't know where it came from, but got in my truck one morning last week, and the weed smell was in my truck for 3 days, and I was scared of getting pulled over. I don't know where it came from. It's like, once again, I'm not some big warrior against this. It's not, but it is against law. But it is like Leanna and I were talking at the break, too. I've said this a bunch of times on the air. If somebody's riding down the road with a 24-ounce beer in their left hand hanging out the window and driving the vehicle, cops need to pull them over because they're showing you that they're driving impaired. So when, you know, it looks like Peter Tosh is driving that Camry with Bob Marley in the back seat or something like that, maybe it's a, and I know the sheriff has a program there and MPD can. I know they can't, I mean, if they pulled over every vehicle doing it, they wouldn't have time for anything else. But it's just, I don't know, today seemed like it was more than normal. All right, B-Dark says, I think everyone should have their dog under control, but if I find someone's dog, I would call them to come get it. It's a thing I do. B-Dark, I am different than a lot of people who aren't, you know, who have dogs come to their property. I call the people, I get, and like I said, I've had experiences from, you know, Alpha to Omega. I've had people go, man, and more often I have people go, man, thank you. You know, we were looking for them, and they got, you know, and I beat them up at the gas station, whatever, and say, here's your dogs. Y'all don't do this again. They're like, cool. And then I've had the same thing. Called somebody, take them their dogs, and they want to throw hands out on a dirt road in Washington County. And the same thing about the, well, if you, like the threats against Chris Pringle, like if you vote to curtail dog days, we're going to burn down your house, you know. Tim says, Sean, they do that on purpose, turn the dogs loose up on the road, run through the other people's property to chase deer over to where the standard is, where the standers are on their own property. 100%. Listen, one of the funniest ones, Tim, so a place I used to hunt a lot in western Washington County, people run the dogs. They were surrounded by people who, other land was probably, let's say, three or four land. There's probably 800 or 900 acres in there, maybe 1,000 acres between like four different landowners. These folks had a 40. And with that 40, they would drive, a dirt road that was a distance from that 40. And you could hear the tailgates drop, the dogs come out, and trying to run all those deer through all those woods onto a 40. I mean, that's doing it the wrong way. I think the dog hunting thing is, I think it's part of our heritage. I think it's awesome. I've enjoyed being on dog hunts. You know, it's been a long time since I've been on one. But you can't, that dog is your possession. You're trespassing with it. So Jason said the problem with Barry Moore is that we don't know what job might pop up next and catch his eye. He's just not stable, almost at a twinkle level. Ooh, that's tough. The Twinkle Kavanaugh says, what are you running for, Twinkle? What do you got? So Cheech and Chong Biggin. that's from Biggin. Okay, sorry. And then Michael, thank you. So I saw this over the weekend, just flashed kind of across one of my news feeds. I spent most of my time on a tractor or under a tractor this weekend. But the death of Alabama, we talked about Flip Pallet passing, and I mentioned it, you know, a month ago when it happened. I think a month ago and changed, maybe 5 weeks. And I mentioned it. I felt kind of funny. I said, well, probably nobody will know who I'm talking about, but I need to say, you know. And then y'all lit this thing up, and I saw social media. I wasn't the only one that really appreciated Flip Pallet. Well, Byron Ferguson. So if you're an archer, probably know who he is, I would say. Well, if you're a longbow archer, a traditional archer, you shoot a stick bow, you'll know who this guy is. Alabama native and just trick shooter extraordinaire. I mean, really cool stuff. If you've not seen this stuff, if you go on YouTube, I think there's probably a bunch of them on there as well. And he was not just famous here in Alabama. I think he was from Hartsell, but famous all over the country. Passed away over the weekend as well. So thank you, Michael, for that heads up and a reminder. But that is sad news. Sad news. Flip Pallet. Now, Byron, I don't know who's next. Somebody do a welfare check on Ted Nugent while you're at it, right?